you have an hour, extra hour to play with, you can stretch your legs. But I'm starting to catch up on my June releases. So I guess we'll be talking about those here shortly. I know you don't have yours yet.
No, so I'm gonna be a pretty poor guest today. So just giving your listeners a heads up.
Never a poor guest. Dice K, I'm thrilled to have you, always, and you're always a fantastic guest. But you had mentioned before the show that you're actually going to go to an actual Barnes & Noble during the sale in Hawaii, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. I'll be going on, yes. The Barnes & Noble is about a 10 or 15 minute walk from the hotel.
Nice. Okay, well, I hope they're well stocked. You might want to call them ahead of time and say just... everything Criterion, keep it in the store. If you don't have Blue Velvet, you're going to say very mean things about them. And of course, I know you won't, but they don't know that. I'm looking forward to your haul video.
Oh, yes. Am I allowed to use that word or is it, will I get some message from Mr. Michael Hutchins? I'm teasing. Michael, I love you.
I think you're excused. I don't know if you saw David had a funny haul video, and Keith did too. So there's
yes,
some,
yeah.
I appreciate the haul videos.
Just me too.
Not so much. One year we had it to where we challenged people to be creative with their haul posts, and we gave a free Criterion. It's too late for that, but I think that might be next time there's a sale. Hopefully there will be a sale. I think there will be. But we have Dice K Beppu from Tokyo, Japan joining us. It's nighttime where you're at, and I'm half asleep here in America. But that's not your fault. That's my cat's fault. How you doing?
Oh, I'm very good, thank you. Yes. How are you? Or maybe... to put it in a way that hopefully our dear friend Keith Enright will appreciate, other than the weather, how are things with you?
Oh, Keith loves the weather. That's all he talked about when I saw him. Don't listen to that stuff. Well, it's very hot outside, so which is a good thing because I'm recording in the morning and I can leave the AC off. No, things are good. As I mentioned, I've been catching up on Criterion, so kind of had a drier spell in last month, a little bit of travel. And some fantastic films came out, and I'm still behind on my 2019 watches, so I need to catch up. Have you been watching a lot of? I know you're still a couple months behind because of the shipping and the Barnes & Noble issue, but have you watched many of this year's titles yet?
I am slowly making my way through them right now. I'm just about. Let's see. I'm still kind of slow, so I'm. About, where am I? I'm about to hit the Jackie Chan films.
Okay.
So.
I'm saving those because a special guest wants to talk about those. So it might be a year from now, but the package is great.
Yes, looks beautiful.
It does, yeah. So it's been a good year so far and more to come. And we'll talk about that a little bit. Of course, I just want to, usually I shout out the Patreons. We didn't have any new Patreons this time, so feel free to join. But this time I want to shout out another Patreon, and actually another friend of the show. So Criterion Cast, who, you know, even though we are not on that feed anymore, I mean, they're still very dear friends, and I love hearing them put out content. They have their own Patreon, and they... put up their 10th anniversary show, and I think, in fact, maybe by the time this episode goes up, it might be on the main feed, and this is kind of an early access thing, so I got to listen to that, and it was really great just to hear them all together again. They don't podcast as regularly anymore, and they, you know, they did talk about some of the history. They actually talked about us a little bit, but they got into stuff that we love, like Spine 1000 and, you know, what's been going on in Criterion Channel, stuff like that. So it was really refreshing. And I don't know if you're a Patreon, but have you heard it or?
Oh, no, I'm looking forward to it very much. And, you know, Criterion Cast it's so crucial to me. I've mm-hmm. listened to many of their podcasts over the years. So, I've been a huge fan for the longest time. And so congratulations
Yeah.
to everyone there. I mean, all this hard work for the community, and they really put in so
Oh,
much work
yeah.
and so much variety and wealth of knowledge, and the time that it takes, it boggles the mind. It's unbelievable. So just congratulations to them, and here's to 10 more years.
Exactly. And I'm very proud to have been part of it for a short, and really my stint on the network was just really a blip, but I'm glad to have made a little bit of a dent. And I should also mention that they're doing a t-shirt sale, and I'll put the link in the show notes to the Teespring. In fact, write myself a note so I don't forget. But they're doing some Criterion Cast shirts and mugs, and we're hoping that they'll come out with a teal one. I'm actually kind of waiting for the teal version before, because it's. I can't do yellow. Sorry, Ryan. So anyway, well, it's congratulations, guys. Of course, we're still dear friends. Somebody the other day pointed out that our Facebook groups still shows Criterion Cast, and I was like, yep, they're still part of us. I mean, we're still very, very well connected. So and I expect that'll continue. So you want to get into this show?
Why not? Yes, let's do it.
Let's talk some
Yes.
Criterion. So well, I don't know if you watched my live videos. I guess probably by the time you got, they were probably while you were sleeping.
I didn't watch them live, but I did watch them after the fact. So, yes.
I know you've done YouTubes, and by the way, I now it's not a bad time to mention 25th Frame's going to have a YouTube channel soon, and in fact, we were going to do something for that. Maybe we still will. I don't know. But yeah, I played with some videos, and in the Facebook group, I did a few live videos, just kind of like the progress of my shelving and some of the highlights I found from my collection. It is a lot of fun. And so people are not going to like this, but I think I've settled on. They're not going to like this for two reasons. I think I've settled on dual stacking my Criterions, so two layers and alphabetical order, and I think that's just the old bookstore librarian guy in me. I want to be able to find stuff, and spine numbers are not readily at the forefront of my memory. I'm not Matt Gasteyer or Michael Hutchins, so I don't know. Does that hit your OCD?
I guess my only question would be, so how would you deal with that itch that you might feel? For instance, oh gosh, I want to watch this film, but it's in the deeper stack, so you have to pull out the outer layer of titles to reach the inner layer. How will you deal with that?
I will pull out the outer layer of titles and get to the inner layer, and then I'll put them back afterward.
Oh, that sounds like a great system. Yeah, so fantastic. Well, then I think I think you've solved it. You've cracked it. Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of is just if you feel the urge to, for instance, want to see something that's in the inner layer, as it were. That's the only thing. But I think it's a good use of space because otherwise you've got a lot of dead space there, right? If you're just using
Exactly,
the
right. And there are, of course, in the inner layer, there's going to be some titles I'd want to show off that, like, for example, say the Demi set hits the inner layer, which very well could. It's a good looking set, or say the Tati set, or say Apu, some of my favorite movies. So yeah, I don't know. We'll see. The thing is that if I don't, I'm there's it's so spacious, and I don't have to worry, but I really do have so much media, and I just the idea of having all of it right there, readily available to pick up whenever I need. I probably will fit 3,000 Blu-rays if I do it that way. So, and then maybe some books. I don't know. So we're still going to think about it. Probably a few weeks I'll have it done.
That's really amazing. I guess my question also is how, like the reason why I keep mine on in spine number order is more so to keep track of what I have or what might be, for instance, missing or not there. So like I wouldn't necessarily be able to do that if the titles were arranged alphabetically for me. So it's a lot easier for me to keep track of them if they're in spine number order. So I wonder how you feel about that. since you're going to be arranging them alphabetically.
I'll give a shout out to Blu-ray.com. So pretty much every time I buy something or every time something arrives, one of the first things I do, I don't actually shelve it until I log it in Blu-ray.com. And that's become a ritual. I think, there was one period of a few weeks where I just logged my entire collection, and now I just maintain it. And so I can see that I have 2,500, and it's actually helpful because a lot of times I see something's on sale and I go to Blu-ray and I just click the title, and if it sh it'll just show it with a bold font. And if I have it, that means I don't need to buy it again, or I better not buy it again. And if I forget to log something, you know it, I'm gonna buy it again. It's happened. So yeah, so that's the way. But and plus, I have a even though I have a lot of Criterions, I have a lot of other labels as well, and so I'll also arrange them alphabetically. Although I think the Eurekas I might arrange by color because they are very colorful, those spines. So we'll see. And the Eclipse series, I might arrange those by color too. We'll see. Well, okay. It's a kind of a big deal. We're about to get to Spine 1000. I, as far as I know, we could get an announcement right now. We're recording this on the 6th of July. I think it's possible that there's a special announcement. It could come out this week. If not, I'm thinking at latest the following Monday on the 15th. Is that lining up with your expectations?
Yes, it is. Yes.
And so we've speculated about this for the last few months now, and of course Keith had his bold proclamation, which was I loved listening to that, and I hope it's true, Keith. And then of course there's been others. There's been Godzilla, King Kong, and then a Grand Budapest Hotel. So do you have any? Are there? Well, first off, do you have any predictions? And then second, are there any of those choices that would really please you?
Oh my goodness, where to begin? Where to begin? I guess it's
Not a softball.
yeah, it's tough, right? Because Citizen Kane has been on my mind for so long, thanks to our dear friends, I think Matt Gasteyer and Keith Enright to begin with. But it's been on my mind so long that it's almost a given for me, but I realize how wrong I am, or how presumptuous that is, because really there hasn't been any, obviously there hasn't been any official, well, I guess apart from the possibility of the clue, right, the
Yeah,
newsletter
sort of,
clue,
yeah.
yeah, but apart from that, which I think is not a definite sign of Citizen Kane, but it's certainly a possible indication. But apart from that, I've always been thinking Kane. But now that we're getting so close, I'm starting to get a little bit jittery, and I'm thinking, God, it could be this, or it could be that, or it could be something else. And so, I think I have to go with something that is a LaserDisc title.
Okay.
That's where my heart is. And so, if we're going to go with that, because we've seen a lot of Criterion releases of titles that used to be LaserDiscs. And
So,
I think, yeah,
Prince of
they're.
Tides, not to steal your thunder.
Well, I mean, it's it. I mean, anything's possible, right? The sky's the limit,
Yeah.
and it's another thing too. It's like I think in on past shows you were mentioning how their Criterion actually, surprisingly enough, hasn't really done a lot of the. Purpose or seemingly purposefully tying in a title with the spine number. I mean, it's happened before, we
Sure.
assume,
Yeah.
666 and also 1984
1984,
coming
yeah.
up. Yeah. But really, they haven't done a lot of tying in. I mean, we could say, for instance, the War Trilogy at 500, but right? I mean, I guess a lot of people say, well, what about the Beastie Boys at 100? And I always think, well, the Beastie Boys seems to me to be the closest link to the Voyager Company LaserDisc, because there are always a lot of LaserDiscs that were released by under the Voyager Company label that were music videos. And so that was always like a link to the Laserdisc past. And I thought, well, I know that's not necessarily an indication of Spine 1000, but I suppose what I mean to say is that it would be nice to see something of the Laserdisc past. And so if that's the case, then Citizen Kane is a possibility, King Kong is a possibility, 2001 perhaps, but there was a recent release of that. And so that might be less of a possibility, practically speaking. As far as Keith's prediction goes, I'm probably on the side of people who say, well, Magnificent Ambersons was released last year, so that might not necessarily be the case. But that doesn't necessarily mean that other films couldn't be released by Orson Welles that haven't been released before. So even if it's not a complete box set, maybe some Orson Welles thing is certainly possible.
Yeah, the
So,
documentary maybe. Not that that would be Spine 1000, but near it. Maybe if they do, Citizen Kane as Spine 1000, and maybe the documentary will be on the disc, the eyes
impossible.
of Orson Welles. It's yeah, I think that's potential. So, all the guesses so far. Do you have a if you were to vote, not that we get a vote, but if you had a preference, would you choose Keith's?
Yes, although like should we think about Spine 1000 or Spine 1001,
I think
you
either,
know?
yeah. And
Either? Yeah.
Keith was the box was 1,000.
Yeah, that sounds pretty possible for me, and I think at this stage of the game, it's better to like if I were a betting man and if someone asked me, should I bet with a prediction by Keith Enright or against a prediction by Keith Enright? I would say, I mean, it's probably safer to go with a prediction by Keith Enright rather than against.
Yeah, even
And
though that
so,
this is a pretty bold one, but he did predict the Bergman set. So
yes.
yeah, and then we just put it out in the ether for months and months, and we're glad we were right. So okay, I guess we'll get to something less contentious. We'll talk about David Lynch and Kino. I don't know if you heard our little special episode, but that was a pretty interesting feud that they had, and it's I don't think I've seen anything like that with. Especially not with an auteur at the scale of David Lynch. I mean, I don't think there's many that exist on the planet right now at his level. Maybe Wes Anderson, but Wes Anderson's a different personality. I couldn't see Wes Anderson having a public fight with a DVD label. It's pretty interesting, and I did break down for all. It seems that the transfer is really good for this Kino release, and so I did order it. It's gonna arrive this week, and I look forward to watching it. But I wonder. I think if Lynch had his way, this would be on Criterion. They would work with together, in accordance with his wishes, like they have recently. It seems like they have a good relationship now. So do you have any strong feelings on this?
Oh, so are you trying to play the blame game?
No,
No, I'm just
I'm just devil's advocate here.
No, I'm kidding. Yes, so yeah, I heard the episode, and well, before I forget, I should really congratulate our dear friend William Remmers on his wonderful David Lynch impression. It's
Wasn't that
really
good?
fantastic.
Yeah, it's
Yes,
worth it for that.
it's fantastic. Massive, massive,
Massive.
fantastic.
I can't do it.
I can't do it either. It's wonderful. But yeah, I think I was listening to the episode and I was in agreement with the guests that you had because it's a really tough thing because we don't know the details of whatever specific contracts are
Sure.
involved and everything, but we can kind of speculate. And it seems like And I'm sure we have some listeners, and I'm sure you have a lot of listeners who are maybe associated with Kino and that side. And so I know that a lot of work goes into, or I can appreciate the fact that a lot of work goes into these Blu-ray releases. And I'm sure that the team at Kino put in a lot of effort. which is probably why there was this has probably turned out the way it has, and probably there was a lot of maybe misunderstanding. I'm not sure, but I, yeah, it's a little bit tough. I don't want to pick sides, but I think maybe that response by Kino was Kino probably play overplaying its hand just a little bit. And I really think that the original tweet from David Lynch was it read to me like it was just a stating of the actual facts and circumstances. And
It wasn't throwing shade at anybody.
no, I didn't read it in any way like that. And so, but I can understand perhaps if a team at Kino who put in a lot of work in the release, and it's a very high profile release, would probably react the way they ended up doing. I can sort of sympathize with that, but I think the two sides are actually looking at the issue at they're on different levels. I'm not sure if they're really connecting, right?
No,
Lynch is saying, right,
clearly
Lynch is
not.
saying on yeah, I'm yeah, Lynch is saying on the one hand, he wishes that the sources were what the original negative. And then the other Kino is saying, well, what we worked with, what we have is actually really is it's really good. So I think they're talking about two different things. And so they're probably in agreement in principle, but and also there's this issue, I'm not sure about Lynch having to give his permission or something with respect to certain aspects of the release, and they tried to email him, but they couldn't, he didn't get a response and stuff. And I thought, well, that's probably a little bit more information that I would have liked to have known about, because you're getting into how you try to contact people, and probably, I'm sure there's a lot more effort going into it, but maybe I don't know. It might take more than just an email or two, but
I think with David Lynch, it might take anything but an email, really. I mean, I just don't think he's on his inbox all the time. He just doesn't strike me as that kind of guy. Yeah, I don't play the blame game either. I think all we can do is speculate, which is what we tend to do on the show anyway. And I think that I'm happy that it's out. I'm happy that I'll be able to watch this movie again in a better transfer than what I saw last time. But I'm also hopeful that maybe someday, and I can wait 5 years or whenever the licensing expires, maybe there'll be another shot with more supplements, and I'll enjoy those. And I don't mind rebuying it in 5 years. I think I can save the money for a $20 Criterion.
And there are no supplemental features or anything like that with this release, correct?
None. And they even had to go back to the original cover art because he wouldn't permit anything. It was clearly the two sides did not see eye to eye, and so that's the one thing that's disappointing is you have the director who's very careful with his image and with his, he wants things released on his terms. So this clearly was not the way he wanted it to get out there. Maybe not even the company that he wanted to get out. He might not have had control, and that might have been Universal. Whereas on the other hand, Kino, they don't have the reputation that Criterion has, but they put out some decent work. They just put out a lot. It's a tough one. But yeah, we have Lost Highway out in the world. It'll be in my mailbox in a few days. So, and it seemed like a lot of people did buy it and enjoyed it. So,
That's great. I mean, it's a film that really should be seen a lot. I mean, I have a Japanese Blu-ray, and it doesn't have any feature. Well, the only feature it has is it has a trailer, and it has Dumbland. So,
Which is
yes.
on the Criterion Channel. Yeah, I think the Japanese version, I haven't really dived too deep into the different transfers, but I think that was one of the better ones.
It seems okay to me. I mean, I'm not an expert in the picture quality of Lost Highway in terms of comparisons, but it seems okay to me. But I'm sure if ever there were something in the future that were director approved, then I would
Oh,
pick it up
sure.
immediately. Of
Without
course, without
question.
question. Yeah.
All right, well, that's it for Lynch. We had a newsletter clue, which was pretty easy this time, which I guess that's refreshing. Well, somewhat easy. It was a picture of Betty Boop, and the
Yes.
so that means Betty Blue. And say the gentleman's name, please, Mr. I could pronounce everything in every language.
Oh, Jean-Jacques Benix.
Thank you. Yeah. And then starring one of my favorite crazy actresses, Beatrice Dahl. Read up on her. She's amazing. Even her Wikipedia, I think, is pretty stellar. I haven't seen this. I've seen a couple of his other films. I forget which one's off the top of my head, but I've heard good things. I guess there are two versions out there. There's a 3-hour something version, and then there's a shorter theatrical version. I'm guessing they'll be both.
Oh, that would be great. I don't that would be really great. I don't know if any I haven't heard any information about this. Do you know of any other information other than the clue?
No, well, it was on the Criterion Channel early, or Filmstruck early, but it didn't play with the Janus or Criterion logo. But this was early. They did a grouping of the director, and so yeah, we really at this point we don't know very little. We just know that we're pretty certain that's what the clue means. But yeah, there's a 2-hour cut and a 3-hour cut, and yeah, should be a good one. I've heard good things.
Yes.
The only thing I think it's pretty clear that it's Betty Blue, but the only thing is, why didn't they make the clue in blue print, in blue ink? They've done that before. I mean, could it be something else?
Betty Boop? I mean, is there it was
There.
there I mean, was there a film that was that had Betty, I mean, other than the actual Betty Boop cartoon, what were there any other films? I mean, Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Did Betty Boop appear in Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Although,
Yeah,
I mean,
I think it's Betty Blue, but yeah,
I
that
think
might
so
have
too.
just made it a little more obvious. Yeah, it's not going to be the complete Betty Boop collection. That's not coming to Criterion, I'm pretty sure. But okay, yeah, we have a clue. So, Betty Blue coming to you. And then we had another modern auteur slash actor. I guess he's becoming an auteur. Paul Dano, who is somebody who I think I've come to respect. I respected him as an actor because he would take interesting film choices and pretty consistently interesting roles and choices. And he doesn't have those, he's not the Ben Affleck looking kind of guy. But so you can tell that he brought some art to his performances and played some unique characters. And now he's directed. So he did, was it Wildlife last year?
Okay.
That was about the California fires. I could have the title incorrect. I forget. It was good. And so he went in the closet and chose had a good session. I love how they always decide they don't want to be greedy. They want to be respectful. Well, some, not always. There's always the Barry Jenkins was pretty greedy, and who the brothers, the Safdie brothers, were like I think they were the greediest. They walked out with basically a wheelbarrow of discs. But what'd you think of Mr. Dano?
Oh, the in the Criterion Closet video? Yeah, it was really nice to see. I was pleasantly surprised. I wasn't I actually, to be perfectly frank, when I first was about to click on the video, I wasn't quite sure what to expect
Same.
because and his selection was really surprising in terms of what he was talking about and what he really got into. And it was really a nice thing. So yeah, well done.
Yeah, it's kind of refreshing when a modern independent actor, you never know what their background is or what their film pedigree is, but when you see that they're into stuff like Yee Yee and Make Way for Tomorrow and Jacques Demy for their kids, that's yeah, it is very refreshing, and it's nice to see that the classics are not being overlooked. So well done, Paul Dano.
And he was talking about This Sporting Life.
Yeah.
He's just really getting into it. And he was talking
Yeah, he had
about,
passion. Yeah.
it was great. And he was talking about Good Morning, I think,
Yes.
Ozu. And
Yes.
he was going on and on about Ozu in a very intense way. It was really nice to see.
And frankly, I can tell just from him speaking and from him searching through titles in the catalog that he could have been there for a couple hours. In fact, Paul Dano, I want you on the show. We need to talk some film. If anybody knows Paul Dano or his agent, please reach out for us. Yeah, no, I thought it was one of the better closet videos. So yeah, I always enjoy those. And the next bit of news is one that's difficult for me because I'm friends with the person responsible for this, and I just don't like negativity on the internet. But there was Clooney Brown, the cover.
Oh, yes. Okay. Okay.
Yes,
Yeah.
so Clooney Brown was announced as September title, right? And I thought the cover was fine. In fact, I remember doing the reaction and seeing that it was drawn by our friend of the show, Caitlin Kuwald. But some of the comments were pretty vicious, really Criterion Forum. They were especially vicious. Not there was some negativity elsewhere, but yeah, they went a little over the top. And then the new one, they redid it, and they did it as with the figure in a circle, in the middle of the disc, and it's all black and white. And actually, I think color wise, that does work a little better. It is obviously it's a black and white movie. Do you have any thoughts on the cover? And if you don't like it, that's fair. I mean, I won't be offended. A lot of people don't.
Oh, I thought the was it the red cover? The original release announcement with the red cover design. I thought that was very nice. It had that nice retro look to it. I don't know if retro is the right word, but it had that nice look, and it was and the red was really like, I like primary colors, and so there was a lot of red, yellow, and blue, I think, that month or so. It was really nice to see. And so I know, I to be perfectly honest, I didn't read a lot of the comments about the cover necessarily, although I did get a little bit of a sense of the some of the reaction from some circles on the internet. So I mean, I cover art is something that is a very how should I put it? I think a lot of Criterion fans, I think very rightly so, are very passionate about, and cover art is one of the main appealing points of Criterion Collection design. I mean, it's Criterion,
Absolutely, yeah.
yeah. So, and some there are some covers that are, are, to be perfectly honest, cover art that maybe I wouldn't necessarily prefer. I like some art over others, of course, but I think everyone is different. So, I had actually no issue with the red cover art or the use of color and the drawing style. I thought it was brilliant. So, and I know that Criterion does this, from time to time.
Oh,
What was the last
changing the
time?
covers.
Yeah, was it the last time with the Some Like It
It
Hot?
was
Was
a
it?
Tree of Life, and yeah, they changed Some
Oh,
Like It
yes.
Hot a little bit.
Yes.
They also changed Cries and Whispers, and I think
Yes.
they do I Ito Mama Tambien, yen. I think they might have slightly changed it. Those are a few of the ones that I remember there being an outcry about. I think I like that they hire illustrators and they do really interesting art. In fact, this the John Waters art was fantastic from the same month, Polyester. So and I know that having been in the graphic arts, illustration is not easy. So I thought it was a fine illustration. I think maybe the gripe was that the positioning, and then the comment, some of the comments, and which have not been as unfavorable with the new design, are that it kind of looks like a Looney Tunes cartoon with, and I think she was going for a Rosie the Riveter vibe. I haven't seen
Oh, definitely. Yes,
Clooney
of
Brown, so
course.
I don't know
Yeah.
if that is a prominent theme. The women, female independence, but I could see it with a Lubitsch film. Have you seen it, Clooney Brown?
Yes. Yeah, and it's I thought it was very apt. So, in terms of the what was it was trying to capture, was it the color scheme that was getting a lot of attention? Because now it turned into a black and white
Yeah, no,
cover
I
art.
think it just I think it was just generally hostility towards it. There were some specific complaints about I think the red I think people did have problems with the red and also the illustration. I think I saw some comments that it looked like a robot, which and
Ah, I
I don't know
see.
if that applies to Clooney Brown if she's supposed to be sort of robotic. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, it did not bother me, and as you mentioned, there are a lot of covers on my shelf that are not my favorite, but they stay on the shelf, and I'm not horrified when I pull them out. I think it's just something we do get a little passionate about.
Yeah, I like, here's a question for you. How do you feel about Criterion doing the thing about the one thing I don't like about Criterion cover art is I don't like it when the art is like the poster, the original movie poster or
Yeah, I agree.
something.
Yeah.
So I always like it when how should I put it? Criterion sort of goes out on a limb, as it were, and just tries something new. And I thought this, the cover designs, not just Clooney Brown, but the other cover designs, I thought they were really going out on a limb in many respects. And I thought it was great. So whether or not, I guess my point being that whether or not I actually I find something personally aesthetically pleasing, I find that's a different question. But in terms of going out on a limb and trying new things, I thought it was great. So,
Yeah, and I like that you pointed out the poster art. I also don't always like, with some exceptions, when they have stills from the film as the cover. Like some like it hot. I was fine with that as a cover, but sometimes it does work. Like Phoenix worked very well with a still of the film. In a Lonely Place worked very well. The way they positioned that still and the font. But again, I don't feel too strongly for or against. Although when I love a cover like polyester, I really, I do cherish that one. It's not, and those might be the ones I'll turn facing out in my little new warped shelving system. So my maybe make it tri-layer.
Incidentally, has the polyester cover been getting more or less a lot of positive, favorable feedback from the community?
Yes, cover of the year, pretty much. Some have said cover of all time. Yeah, so very, yeah, it's been very overpraised, if anything. So, and I
That's
think
great.
it's a really nice cover. So, right, well, we can get into some titles, some stuff maybe coming, some maybe not coming or leaving. There was somebody posted in our Facebook group that there were a number of Eclipse titles showing as unavailable. Do you remember seeing that?
Yes, I do. Was it our friend Michael
It
Hutchins?
was our good friend Michael Hutchins. Can always rely on him. I wrote him down. So we have The Late Ozu, we have Post-War Kurosawa, we have Larissa Shepetko, Aki Kaurismäki. People love that I'm reading these, and Pearls of the Czech New Wave. So these are five. I think these are among the five best of the Eclipse series titles. I mean, I'm not saying they are the five best, but they're all excellent. Title. So that this doesn't mean they're out of print, but and you probably can get them somewhere, but maybe possibly sometimes they do this. Sometimes it'll be available or unavailable, and then later you can't get it. So are you alarmed that maybe the Eclipse series could go out of print, or are you encouraged? Maybe they're going to upgrade some of these.
Oh gosh, to be perfectly honest, I am unfortunately pessimistic when it comes to the issue of upgrades and the Eclipse series set. I really don't think that that would happen, but that's just my own personal hunch. I would love it to happen, of course, don't get me wrong, but it just feels like it might not necessarily happen, especially with the advent of the Criterion Channel.
I was thinking more not upgrading the entire box, but say pulling out say daisies, that's been rumored, maybe Floating Clouds. Maybe any of the post-war Kurosawas I think could work as standalone titles. Any of the Ozu could work, and the Wings. Yeah, I think there are examples from each of these that could work.
Now, I guess my question would be for you and for the audience would be, so in the past, of course, there have been other titles that have been indicated as being quote unquote currently unavailable, right? And I
That's
believe
happened,
that's
yeah.
the Yeah, and but that doesn't necessarily mean that those titles have fallen out of print, right?
Yes, this could mean absolutely nothing.
And in
So.
fact, I'm trying to think. My sense, and I could be completely wrong on this, but actually my sense is that for the most part, I'm thinking of examples where that has happened, and in fact, the title never fell out of print, or at least not out of print as of now. So for instance, I think that happened with like Doctor Strangelove. Am I remembering correctly? Or that might have happened with, oh gosh, I seem to remember it happening with Le Samurai sometime back.
It did happen with Le Samurai with the DVD, which was eventually upgraded. So,
Yes.
yeah, I think it.
So yeah, so I guess my point is that on the one hand, I don't immediately feel nervous if I see currently unavailable pop up, but I do understand the concern that people have, and I think it's a little bit of a different situation if I see that currently unavailable phrase pop up with respect to the Eclipse series, rather than with, let's say, an individual Blu-ray release like Dr. Strangelove, for
Agreed.
example.
Yeah. I think the Eclipse is almost endangered, I think, at this point.
Yes,
I don't know
yes.
if they sell as well. We haven't had a release this year, and I just double checked and they are still showing as out of or unavailable. I'm going to check Barnes and Noble.
Okay.
But bear with me here a second.
Sure, no
My
problem.
slow internet. Larissa Shepko, they want to sell me a Nook. Oh, they couldn't find anything. So yeah, it's not Barnes and Noble. Yeah, so I if probably most people that would want these own them already. And I think you're right that the only actual out of print Eclipse has been the Flamenco trilogy. So, and that has fetched quite a price. I paid a good bit for mine. So yeah, I guess if you really want them, you might want to look for them somewhere, maybe not pay too much just in case, but yeah, don't know what's happening there. I would, on the other hand, love to see, The Ascent. I would love to see that upgraded to Blu-ray
Oh, yes.
or and of course we know there are a lot of Czech films coming, so because they had the big deal, so there could be some of those. Yeah, there's lots of options there, and I'll take any Kurosawa Ozu you give me. So. And well, there's another one, The Return of Martin Guerre. That was I believe that was a Laserdisc title, correct?
That's correct, yes.
So that one was announced going to Cohen. So that's one down from the eligible Laserdiscs. And we had a little conversation with our good friend Michael Hutchins about taking away these films that have been released elsewhere and seeing how many are potentially available for upgrade. And it's a pretty low number. The laser discs are down to under 100, and the discs, I think he figured they're about 260, but of course a lot of that we don't know because we don't know what is has been licensed elsewhere. Yeah, we're running thin on upgrades, and I'll also mention that we know that there's going to be some Kiarostami. There's going to be a 4K restoration of Taste of Cherry this summer, so who knows how that will materialize and form a disc, but that'll be an upgrade someday, so subtract that from the list. And
Yes,
maybe
yes.
Citizen Kane. We'll see.
Yes. And Prince of Tides.
Oh, right. Yeah, Prince of Tides. Have you seen The Return of Martin Guerre? Is that.
Yes, I have the Criterion Laserdisc. I'm very fortunate to have that. So, actually this is yeah, so it's a little bit well, I should well, actually let me just take that back. I think that it's great to have it released in any form. So this is very exciting. Of course, my Criterion fanboy part of me would have loved to have seen it in the Criterion collection. Of course. But
Okay.
it's it I guess it's better to have been released than not have been released at all. So.
There you go. Yeah, I will be. I don't know much about it, so I guess maybe I'll watch the Coen someday. One thing I've noticed that probably not many people care about this, but sometimes my library gets Coen media titles. So if you might check yours. I mean, I'm maybe not yours, Daisuke, because I don't know if your Japanese library gets Region A or not Region A, but American U.S. films. But people here in the States might check. They're now don't check for Canopy. That's a different topic. And then there's another one, Princess Bride. So this has received probably about I don't know, 2,000 releases, I'm guessing, more or less. But this was interesting because it just was released this past, what was it, earlier this year, or was it late last year? I forget when it was came out on Criterion. But it's getting a 4K, an actual 4K release, a 4K Blu-ray. But it's from a Turbine Medien, so they're a German company. So it may not be as out of norm, but yeah, those are region free, so it's out there. Do you have any interest in a? Do you do the 4K thing?
No, I don't. I'm very much behind the times with respect to that. So I don't have any 4K setup, or I don't have any 4K discs accordingly. But yeah, I'm actually I don't have any 4K. I'd love to get it, but I just it you know I've just gotten used to. I feel like I've just gotten used to Blu-ray, so so just getting another setup is a little bit of a time and money commitment for me. But I mean, as far as a passive casual observer of these things, of course it's great news. But yeah, that's as far as I can say as far as my own personal involvement or investment in the thing. So.
Yeah, I'm not too invested in Princess Bride getting 4K. I'm not surprised either. I'm sure that despite this Criterion, and I think the Criterion edition was special because of the book, and
Yes.
they put their stamp, you know, that tender loving care that we've come to know. But I'm under no illusion that that's the last release it'll ever get. Then there's some Janus titles coming there, and they released the posters for Streetwise and Tiny. And then also they release trailers for both of those. And I watch snippets of the trailers. I'm funny about that. I don't want to watch the whole thing, even though Criterion or Janus is usually pretty good about not spoiling the film in the trailer, like the studios will do. Not that I care about that too much either. But both look pretty interesting. Have you seen either Streetwise or Tiny?
Yes, so but I didn't know about this news until you told me about it as far as it's re their release. So this is very this is very promising. So this is so this means if I'm please correct me if I'm wrong, but this probably means a Criterion release sometime down the line, correct?
Yeah, I'd say it definitely means that. If
Definitely,
Janus,
yeah.
yeah. So, but these I'd say are minor releases for Janus. In fact, they've been out there on the internet for a couple weeks, not really getting as much traction as other releases. So they, but so I maybe not as quickly. Although you never know. So you would recommend both of them?
I think so. Yes.
Yeah, I think we talked to Matt about them and he liked them. So, all right, well, move on to the last thing about physical media is they just had the cinema Il Cinema Ritrovato in Italy, in Bologna. And that, if you don't know, that's where. So I know that all the Criterion people go out there and meet, and they give out these really prestigious awards, and they also show a lot of films as well. But they had their awards for Blu-rays of the year, and Criterion tends to do pretty well in these rewards. And these are awards, I should say. And these are not just Region A or Region B; they're global. And so, no surprise, but the top prize was Ingmar Bergman's Cinema, which I think is in the running for one of the greatest Blu-ray releases of all time. Maybe I'm biased. There was also the rediscovery of a forgotten film was from our good friends at Kino Lorber. They were pioneers, first women filmmakers. So, which is interesting to reconcile that with the David Lynch thing, because you know, they put a lot of care into this project, and it was recognized. And then the what was interesting is the best single film release was Diamonds of the Night by Nimitz. But it was the second run edition, although I believe these are for last year. So the Criterion was this year. So it's almost like an honorary win. So any thoughts on these awards?
I just want to echo your comments about the Kino Pioneers First Women Filmmakers, which is, I think, a must-have set It's really a must-have. I don't think I can add anything more to the conversation about the greatness of the Ingmar Bergman
Sure.
cinema set.
We've had a few
But
words about that topic.
yes, and you don't need me to tell you how great that set is. So, but yeah, the, some of these other there are some other releases here that caught my eye, and I think maybe you have some. I mean, some of the personal choices that were mentioned by some of the judges here. I think you have the Woodfall,
The Woodfall's
the set,
excellent. I haven't
yeah, the
watched the whole thing
revolutionary.
yet, but
I
it's
don't have that. So
oh,
is it is it do you, it's a good.
highly recommend it. If you like the kitchen sink era of British film, absolutely recommend it. And there are a lot of overlap with Criterions in that set. It does have Tom Jones, so not everything's perfect, but yeah, one of them had the Sam Fuller at Columbia series as well. So there, yeah, I'll put the link in the notes. So if you, it's not a lengthy list. There's another organization that does year-end Blu-ray awards, and they have a ton of categories and a ton of lists. So I think that's more crowdsourced from all the people in the industry, and there might be more to this than what we see.
Now, I have a question for you. I don't know if you know this or not, but when you talk about awards given to physical media releases like these Bologna Awards, do you know or do you get a sense that Criterion is the recipient of a lot of awards or not really?
I would think so, and you know these are stuff that it's very much insider. It's probably you and I have day jobs, and there are award celebrations for the industry and their employees. So it's probably
Sure, sure.
on that level. It's just we tend to we consume these products, but I think Criterion does do pretty well. I've seen in previous years that Arrow has done very well. I think believe I the Yoshida set. I think one year, and then the year before that, the Borowczyk. It's been a few years now. That large set of his, that won some awards. So they do go for the big box sets of and the big restorations or reintroductions of classic cinema. So Bergman is that's almost unfair to the rest of the world. You know, Woodfall might have been a contender if not for Bergman, or so. Yeah, I think they're neat, and I know that I don't know, but I get the sense that Criterion's very proud of these, as they should be. So, yeah, and I believe they got one for Apu as well. I don't know. Frankly, this should be like the DVD Oscars. They should be on TV. There should be more attention to these, but I enjoy them.
Oh, it'd be great. Or at least there should be a category at the Academy Awards.
Actually,
Best physical media release or something. Yeah, that would be really cool.
And you know the Grammys had that. They have best packaging and best box set. Or Grammys, of course, have hundreds of categories. But I don't need it to be on TV. But it would be nice to get, especially in the now that physical release or physical media is somewhat endangered. Yeah. So, although, yeah, there's always a lot coming out. So. All right, well, I guess just a little bit about streaming, and I know that you can't comment too much because you have different streaming services, but I do want to just mention that one big thing was Canopy, their deal with the New York Public Library in Brooklyn and Queens went away, which is a pretty big deal for that service, and there have been we've talked about on this show about the pricing, and it's not cheap. And I think a lot of the libraries are seeing that it's a niche service, and but probably occupying a large amount of their budget. So I would not get too comfortable with Canopy. If there's something you want to watch, I'd watch it now. I've actually decided not to watch. Just as I learned about the pricing and what they're charging libraries, I just think that I don't want to be a burden on my library that much. I'd rather just rent a disc from them. But yeah. I don't know if I'm sure it'll survive, but it might just be on smaller libraries that can afford it. What do you think? Or
I don't have any direct connection with this, but I'd certainly sympathize with anyone who was relying on the service. I think our dear friend William Remmers was speaking to it in particular. So I guess my question is, again, I'm not too experienced with streaming services, but my question is, Is it for you, Aaron? Do you find that, for instance, well, maybe it's a little bit different for you because you probably have. I mean, I not probably. I know that you are very much invested in the physical media aspect of the Criterion Collection as well as other labels. But I guess my question would be for anyone who would watch a film on streaming service. Would you then go and get the same film in a physical media release? Is that usually the
Good
pattern,
question.
or is it?
I think not. I think oftentimes it's the opposite. They'll watch it on streaming rather than physical media. But on the other hand, even though I am invested in physical media, as you said, I do enjoy having a click at a button. I love the Columbia Noir series, and I've seen a few others from the channel. I don't probably get as much screen time as others just because I have so much other competition. Although I will say that I was watching War and Peace the other day, and I'm going to talk about that here again in a minute. And there were two areas, and I don't know if it was my disc or just my player, but there are two parts where it wouldn't play. So I lost 4 minutes of in part three, and I lost another 4 minutes in the first 4 minutes of part four. And
No.
so I was able to go to the Criterion Channel and watch the 4 minutes. And of course, fortunately, the second part was just the credit sequence for the most part, and then some guy talking. But I know it's an 8 hour film. You want to see every single minute. And that one, I certainly did. Do you know? Does your library offer any streaming services, or does Japan have a significant large public library? Or is that an American thing?
Yeah, my local library doesn't have anything like that, at least as far as I know. So, and I guess I can watch like Amazon Prime on my phone, but but I don't usually do that. I'm not, I, to be perfectly honest, I don't, I still can't get used to this. I can't wrap my brain around it for some reason. So it's I feel like for me I feel like I want to take the time to, I don't know, like put have a machine plugged in and push a button so the tray has to open and put something. I feel like I'm already used to that. So
Well,
yeah,
that's
so
fair.
it's yeah, but I, not to say that I'm against it philosophically. I'm totally for it, but it's just I really take a long time to adjust to these sorts of things, and I'm really, really slow as far as streaming services go. But I'm slowly trying to get there, and especially I think because just it's a related topic, but I think I was reading a post I think on one of the groups about I think our dear friend Michael Hutchins had seen all was it he'd seen almost all of the films on the Criterion Channel or
Yeah,
something like
isn't
that.
that great? Yeah.
Yeah, that is that's
It's quite a
amazing.
task, I know. Michael Hutchins is a champion. There should be an
That's
Oli if
amazing.
there's an Olympics or award ceremony for Criterion watching, gold medal, buddy.
That's amazing. So yeah, wonderful. So yeah, I'm totally in support of streaming services. So this news about Canopy is something that I sympathize with. So yeah.
All right, well, Dice K, would you like to talk some short takes? So these are just a Criterion film you've seen lately, and I know you're behind on the June releases, so but I'm sure I know you watch a lot of movies and a lot of great movies. So anything that's floated your fancy lately?
Let's see. Gosh, there are quite a few Criterion titles, right? So there are quite a few, but I think the one that I was really involved with and really getting into just for a YouTube video that I made recently on Georges Clouzot, I really got into the film La Vérité. So that was an earlier release, I understand, but it was a very great watch and a very tough watch, so I really got a lot out of that and the release. It has a really nice documentary on the
Oh yeah.
life and career of Clouzot,
It did, yeah.
and I wouldn't recommend it to anyone who hasn't seen Diabolique or Wages of Fear, because I think
Oh, sure.
there are some discussions about those films that do give some important plot details away. So I would stay clear of that documentary if you haven't seen those films. But for the rest of your listeners who know Clouzot's work and who haven't seen La Vérité or don't have that disc, it's really great. It's one of the great surprises for me so far. So.
Yeah, I did enjoy that documentary. I love filmmaker documentaries, and Verité was very good as well. And Bardot was really surprisingly, I mean, not that she's a bad actress, but I didn't really see her reach deep down. Right, I haven't seen her go that deep in any other film in her career. It was very really a strong performance. So yeah, but yeah, courtroom drama sort of,
Yes,
kind of.
yes.
I just recently got the Clouzot early works, so I look forward to seeing those. Of course, the very early is were during the war,
Le
why
Corbeau?
Le Corbeau, yeah.
Oh, so you have the DVD, you got the DVD of that, or is it a Blu-ray from a different label?
I have the DVD of Le Corbeau, and actually I have the Blu-ray from France, but I bought, I think it was a Kino or somebody else, the early works of Clouzot. It's just like a mini box set
Oh, I see. I
with
see. Yes.
maybe
Okay.
four other films. I think they're probably minor films. It's not like the two you mentioned or the three, but I do agree. I'm not spoiler sensitive, but Diabolique and Wages of Fear, I think, go into those without knowing anything if you haven't seen them yet.
Yes.
Well, my short take is a big one, and it is War and Peace. Sergei B.
Yes.
Bondarchuk or something like that.
Bondarchuk, I think.
Bondarchuk, thank you.
I think, yes.
Who was also the lead actor and did a fine job as the lead actor. And yeah, as I mentioned previously, there were a few minutes missing from my disc. Yeah, and please, anybody else, let me know if you have problems with the disc playing. Somebody in the Facebook group, I think it was Dave Eves, mentioned his played all the way through, so maybe it was just me. But gorgeous film. Some of the shots. Have you seen it yet?
I haven't seen the Criterion release yet, but I'm looking forward to it. I do know the film, but
Okay.
I haven't seen this new, is it the restoration?
Yes, it.
Yes, so I'm looking forward to it tremendously. Yes.
I hadn't seen the film at all, so seeing some of the shots were, and some of just the long shots with all these extras. I mean, they must have had thousands of extras. This is before digital compositing, and you know, but there are some shots, and not just war, but some of the events, the galas, that they have some really interesting camera work, and then the war scenes. A lot of times they have these long tracking shots and very carefully choreographed shots. It was really something. The film itself is very good. I mean, of course, it is based on a Tolstoy novel, so you kind of know what you're going to get. And you know, War and Peace. I made a joke on Twitter or somewhere that yeah, there's war and there's peace, and I think I actually preferred the war. The war worked better than the peace. I love the film, so these are just minor quibbles. But some of the segments, like the second part, where
Yes.
there's I guess a relationship development, that wasn't as impactful to me. And I didn't really get the character investment that I would have liked. But still, minor quibble. This is really just eye candy, and really a lot of it. So I highly recommend it. I'd say one of the releases of the year, and I haven't watched the special features yet, so.
Now, let me ask you, how did you watch the film? Did you more or less watch it in one sitting, or did you watch it in segments, or how did you watch it, or and how would you recommend to you, to me and to your audience how to best approach the film?
Well, I happen to know that Matt Gastier watched it in one sitting in a theater, and I think if you have that opportunity, I would take it. I mean, if this is a film that you're not gonna. I didn't have the opportunity to watch it in a theater, so I split it up. I believe I began it on a Tuesday, and then we had a holiday, so I had a little downtime. So I watched. I think I watched one and a half parts there. Ideally, you'd watch it over a span of a few days or maybe a few weeks, maybe a part at a time. I guess mine was closest to binge watching, so since I watch 8 hours in a few days. But I think it actually any way is fine. I don't think it loses much, and it's still pretty captivating. Although I think I could see that watching it for 8 hours straight could be amazing, but also a little exhausting. So I probably wouldn't recommend that. This is not Stranger Things. Speaking of streaming, but well worth the watch.
Interesting. Now, is your my impression of the reaction online in our film fan community groups is that this is getting a lot of favorable attention. A lot of people I'm finding are talking about this one a lot. So, do you get that same impression? And if so, what do you make of that? I'm very happy to see it, but to be perfectly honest, I wasn't expecting this kind of positive reaction. It's become it feels like it's almost like the next hot release. It's the next hot item
I
after
think it
Blue
is.
Velvet almost. Yeah. That's
I
really
mean,
great.
Blue Velvet's a different entity. But yeah, it's a massive Russian epic. So I wish that like something like 8 hours Don't Make a Day got this sort of attention. Although not that it didn't, it got some decent attention, but it wasn't lavish as much. I don't think it probably didn't move as many units. I think it's part of just the spectacle too. We've seen a lot of 60s epics. The David Lean epics are I think this is comparable, or some of the biblical epics. But I think this is almost. And of course, that's the Soviet mentality was competing with the West. So I think they were trying to out-epic the epic. I haven't watched the feature, so I don't know if that was their motivation. But I think that makes it attractive, and it's nice to see that people are engaging with it. But yeah, when I think of 60s Soviet film and the stuff that we see, I think of Tarkovsky, I think of Kalatozov. And so yeah, this is not it was not too far on my I'd heard that it was really good previous to this, but I didn't know that it was Criterion worthy or that it would get this much of a response. So yeah, I think it is one of the discoveries of the year.
Now, do you think that of the films that you said, now you said that you're making your way through the 2019 releases. So it's now about we're halfway through 2019. So where do you think when you make inevitably when you make your best of lists or of best releases of the year, not that you have to commit to anything now, of course, but do you think that this is a potential title that will appear on your favorites list at the end of the year?
I think it'll be there, yeah. It'll be in the conversation, yeah. I mean, the thing is, there's just so many good ones. And I'm glad you mentioned that. So after we get past Spine 1000, I think Spine 1000 has kind of hijacked a lot of our conversations. Usually it would be nice to have a mid-year review of the discs, and so I haven't really looked. And of course, I've had some travel, so I haven't had a chance to see them all. But I don't know yet. I would actually like to fill some of those gaps, and maybe after July, maybe in August, look at some of the ones so far. But I'm just looking at recent releases, and yeah, there've been some good ones. We have Blue Velvet, The Heiress, Face in the Crowd, the Jackie Chan I haven't watched yet, but you mentioned Diamonds of the Night, I think is very special, and I think that might be one of the new discoveries. That one got a lot of love online. So yeah, and then there's a lot coming out that I think we'll love too. So yeah, it's a good year.
And there's a lot to look forward to, of course, as well.
There is, yeah, that
Yeah.
we have the circus, we have the Cloud Cap Star. What else we have?
The Coker trilogy.
Oh, the Coker trilogy, yeah, the Flavor of Green Tea over Rice. Yeah, we have Days Confused. We have Do the Right Thing. Oh, and coming soon is well, Clute and The Baker's Wife and the BRD trilogy. So yeah, what a time to be alive, Daisuke. Well, I love that you turned it around and interviewed me a little bit, but that's
Oh, I'm
it.
sorry about that. Yeah,
No, it's
sorry about
great.
that.
It was great. I love it. So, but that's all I have for the show. So usually we have a moment of a piece of flair and we talk about something that's not Criterion related. So is there anything that that's grabbed you that's that outside of Criterion? Have you seen Midsommar yet?
Oh no, I haven't. I heard some things about it. So it's yeah, have you seen it?
I haven't, but a lot of people have been talking about it, so I want to. I might actually try to make a screening. But so is there anything on your mind that you've seen?
Let's see. I'm going through just Japanese films from the 70s and 80s. So that's been sort of that's preoccupied most of my free time now, and I guess I'm looking forward to August because Arrow. I know this is a Criterion Now show, so I apologize for bringing up Arrow, but I know Arrow is going to be releasing a set called Akio ji Soji, and I'm really looking forward to
Yeah.
that.
Is that
That is,
the Buddhist trilogy?
yes, that's it.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm oh
So you would
wow, I'm so
recommend that?
happy. Oh, it's a really wild set of films, and it's a
Okay.
really wild. And speaking of the, I know that you brought it up with the Kino and the David Lynch issue before about how labels like Criterion sometimes sit on a title for a long time before they get all everything just right for the release, and sometimes they do that, but other times, certain pressures apply, and people or labels feel like they have to release a title sooner rather than later. Well, the Akio ji Soji set from Arrow was subject to kind of an indefinite delay last year, and so I didn't know if it was going to
Yeah,
get
it was a
released,
very
but
lengthy delay. I'm glad it's coming out.
yeah, and I think it was because they were trying to find maybe the rights for another film, I think it was. I'm not sure what the details were, but it's a trilogy, but there are actually four films by this director that I think are sort of thematically related that are worth checking out. And I cannot wait until that is released to see the reaction, because those films are just a wild set of films, and I don't want to say any more because they're
Well,
potentially explosive. So,
we might need to have Mr. Daisuke on an episode of Arrow now. I'm just saying. But very coincidental because my short take, well, or my short take, my piece of flair, I haven't, because of my travels and everything, and now catching up on Criterions, I haven't seen much other than Criterions lately. I saw Us, and it was decent, but we've all talked about Us for a while. But what I wanted to share was that, so this is the Barnes & Noble sale for Criterions. Sometimes they've done this before, but this year they also did a Arrow sale, and here in the U.S. So Arrow U.S. titles, and I know that they've done 40%. I don't know if they've done 50% yet. So rather than taking advantage of the Criterion sale, I took advantage of the Arrow sale, and I bought a
good for
few.
you.
Yeah, and I haven't watched any of these yet. I bought the and oh, and pre-orders worked too for a few, not only the next couple months. So I got the Andromeda Strain, the Crichton. I got Mellow by Renee, which I haven't seen, and I will take any Renee. I got the 80s FM, which I haven't seen since the 80s, and that's the Weird Al Yankovic one, right? I think
Think
it's
so, yes.
yeah, probably pretty silly but fun. And then I also pre-ordered Weird Science, which again, not high art, but should be. It's a good Arrow title, and that one is coming out in July. I think they had the July pre-orders. So yeah, if you're interested in Arrow and you're not broke from the Barnes and Noble or the Criterion sale, you might want to go check it out. They have a few on sale, and on sale maybe US$20. So,
That's great. Are
yeah.
there any titles there that you're really looking forward to?
Of those, I'd say Mellow and the Andromeda Strain. I've seen the latter, but it's been a long time. But I kind of like those 70s films, and I think I was going to say cheesy films. I think that one has a little better reputation, maybe around like The Wicker Man, but not as warped.
Oh, Robert Wise, right?
It is Robert Wise, yeah. So I think it's pretty good. I'm at Barnes & Noble's website, Arrow Video. Oh no, it's their search is not that good. Arrow, you need to get it together. So anyway, but if you can manage their search, there's probably a way, because I think somebody had posted the link to the Arrow catalog, so I just scrolled through there, and there are a lot to choose from. But yeah, no, lots of good stuff, and I'll be watching more. So thank you for joining, Daisuke. Where can people find you online, other than our groups where you make these wonderful videos?
Oh, thank you. That's very kind of you to say. So yes, so I tend to visit I'll be around the Criterion Now Facebook group, so you can probably find me there. And also, I have a YouTube channel called Daisuke Beppu. It's a very original title, I know. So
I wonder where you
you
got
can,
that.
yeah, it's a long story, but yes, so you can check out some videos that I've made there. It's I'm very proud to be a part of the 25th Frame network. So yes, so that's where you can find me. So please, yeah, feel free to visit me there or drop me a line in the Criterion Now Facebook group. I'd love to talk to you.
Yeah, we love having you. And I should also mention that this is kind of an interesting thing, and I haven't been able to catch one of these yet, but you've been doing live discussions. And of
Oh,
course,
yes.
it's difficult to time those. And I noticed that you've been timing them for I think generally about early evening US time. I guess that would be morning Japanese time, right?
Yes, 6 a.m. Sunday
Ooh.
mornings here. So,
So you're not catering to the Tokyo audience there, are you?
no. Although I know some people, I know some friends of mine do catch some of the live streams. So
Oh, good.
I'm very, I feel bad actually because it's very early. But yeah, those are a lot of fun, and I think it's more just to try to get more interaction with people who are very generous with their time and watch the videos. So it's really nice way for me to interact and to hear in real time what people have to say about a particular film. At the moment, I'm just trying to focus on titles in the Criterion Collection just as a means of maybe because Criterion Channel and all that, so I thought that'd probably be the best way to do it. And so the next one is going to be July 28th, I want to say, Sunday, July 28th. It's going to be 6 a.m. Tokyo time, and I'll make an announcement later, but it'll be on the film Mishima, A Life
Ooh,
in Four
oh boy. Oh,
Chapters.
and you know what? I have a board meeting that day. So,
Oh, really? Okay.
yeah.
Okay. So you can watch the live stream while you're at your board
I'm sure they'll love it. It's for
meeting.
it's not for the movie board, it's the bike board. So yeah,
I'm
they
just
might.
kidding, of course. I'm kidding.
I don't think they'll be into Mishima. You never know. You never know. Is there any biking in Mishima?
There could be in some deleted scenes, but yes.
Well, I do love that you announce those in the group, and I appreciate that. And I tend to watch your videos on the on my big 70-inch TV. So if you want to know, someday I'll take a picture of you in my living room. So appreciate that.
Oh gosh, I'm so sorry. Gosh, 70-inch TV. Gosh, yeah,
Hey, I need high def dice K.
believe me, it's better to watch. Let's watch. Don't watch my video. Watch like our friend John Lobinger,
Sir,
and
are you
Who
gonna
Wants to Be a Millionaire or
go the
something.
David Lynch route and say watch you on our phones? Is that what you'd prefer?
Oh gosh, oh gosh, can you please let me do it? I know I'm not going to be as good as William Remmers, but
Go ahead, please.
don't watch films
That's
on an
good.
iPhone.
That's good.
Okay, sorry
That's
about
very good. Remmers is like gold standard. You're a good silver. So
Thank you. Well, I'll take silver, that's for sure. But I that's yeah, so William Remmers is the gold standard,
there you
so
go.
yes.
Hashtag William Remmers gold standard. Well,
Yes, yes.
thank you for joining. So you can find us, as we mentioned, on the 25th frame. Please subscribe to the master feed. Go look at the website. We'll have some more Dice K up there in the future, I promise. I'll have to go mine what he's been doing lately. And yeah, support all the other shows. You can find me on Twitter, AWES505. Occasionally I make a War and Peace joke, and then beyond that, it's not too much. And come hang out with us in the groups. We have a lot of fun in the groups, and yeah, I probably make more jokes in the Facebook groups and than in Twitter. So, all right, Dice K, well, pleasure having you.
Pleasure being here, my friend. Thank you very much for inviting me.